So this is our last class in this go-around for loving kindness. And so before we start, it'd be nice to hear from you. How's it been going, and what have been your reflections or discoveries or questions about loving kindness over the last week?
How often should you, how does this fit in? Do you do it every time you do a meditation? I don't do all that much meditation. No. Like, it's no more than 20 to 30 minutes a day. So is it, generally speaking, one or the other? I'm forgetting about mindfulness meditation now.
Because you're doing this instead?
Yes. Yeah, how? I was just wondering about a ratio. Is there an optimum ratio?
There's no rules for these things. It's more a pragmatic sense of what seems to be best for you, what seems right for you. Mm-hmm. And some people, that's all they do for long periods of time is loving kindness meditation. And some people will do sometimes the first 5 or 10 minutes of their sitting with loving kindness, and they switch to mindfulness. And some people will start with mindfulness and end with loving kindness. And some people alternate days. And it kind of depends on what you feel works best. But I kind of think that whatever you choose, it's good to have some regular consistency, because with doing the same thing each day on a regular basis, you build a little bit some sense of momentum or some sense familiarity with that world from having done it routinely. And so it builds from day to day. You know, if you sit every day, then the next day you sit, there's a history a little bit of how it was the last few days, and that somehow helps build perhaps the way you engage yourself in the new day. Not to stress yourself, but just it can just add a little bit of spice, something like that. Yeah.
When I meditate, I don't really do loving kindness meditation, but I find that I am having feelings of loving kindness during my day-to-day life, which seems to increase. I don't feel, I feel better, I like the other kind of meditation better, like mindfulness meditation better than loving kindness, because I don't like the formulaic approach so much to that. In fact, sometimes I have difficulty even remembering the words that I want to say, but the feeling that those words are supposed to engender seems to come quite easily.
I think that's a great way of doing it. There's many different ways. If the formulaic way doesn't work for you, there's other creative ways of doing it as meditation itself. Sometimes creatively you can use visualizations. So just visualize, or just imagine, or just don't use formulaic phrases, but just kind of talk yourself into it. Just use the saying whatever seems suited for you, whatever words or phrases or.
In a way, it's more meaningful for me to feel loving kindness to people I'm actually with or looking at or meeting in some way than to do it more abstractly.
Yeah, that's how I like to do it the most. That's why I do the most in my daily life. Is I don't do it that often in sitting practice myself, like my daily sittings. But I do it a lot kind of just going about. You know, if I'm driving along the road or in the traffic or waiting for a stop sign or something or in the store. It's just a nice thing to do. I just kind of send loving kindness in all directions. Yeah.
I've been sort of tacking it on to the end of my meditation, like for 5 minutes or so, not for very long, and I don't get as far as sending that much loving kindness, you know, to the whole world. Uh-huh. But basically, I've been using it for myself and for my family, for my kids. I don't know if it's a coincidence, but it seems to have helped. I don't know, it's me, you know, that I'm less angry you know, with them.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden my relationship with my daughter has improved. I don't know if that's why, but...
Maybe.
It helps.
Yeah.
Really help.
Great. Yeah. That's nice to hear. I was thinking today about how the relationship between loving kindness and patience and giving yourself time, half a chance, that if I'm rushing around, trying to rush to get somewhere or busy, that there's very hard for me to have space for any kind of feelings of loving kindness. But if I slow down and just kind of follow a nice pace and plan ahead and get to my car early enough and, you know, so there's plenty of time to get to where I'm going, then it's a lot easier to drive or be with myself in a place of loving kindness. But it goes the other way also, that if you cultivate a little bit of loving kindness, that also creates a more spacious and more open-ended time feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you're more patient and more open-ended, it allows for all kinds of other things to happen in a relationship. How many of you have felt that maybe it's improved your relationships since you've been doing loving kindness? Yeah. In what way?
I like people more. I seem to get along better with people. And the teamwork that occurs in the course of the day will make more progress.
Mm.
I'm a lot more tolerant somehow.
Mm.
Patience develops.
And what's been the key for you in order to be able to cultivate loving kindness towards your fellow?
Well, it's part of what you mentioned, giving yourself a little space. Somehow the process results in a deeper examination of what's going on inside of you. And as a consequence, you do create more space.
Mm-hmm.
And in that space, there's more tolerance and patience. That's what comes into it. Out of it is a warmer feeling towards people, which I guess they reflect back to you. So
yeah.
I notice that. So it's the body opening also that's been extremely interesting, shall we say, and new in this process.
In the doing loving kindness.
Yes.
And you feel the body's.
Well, it starts out as loving kindness.
Uh-huh.
Pretty soon, you know, all kinds of things are opening up.
Uh-huh.
Forget about the moment. Go and look at these openings that are happening.
Great.
I've decided in intimate relationships that I think I'm ready to attract someone in my life that exhibits those qualities more too.
Uh-huh.
So I think probably doing the exercises here has facilitated that.
Uh-huh.
Awareness. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great. Yeah.
I just started this week, but I noticed that as I was breathing in the quiet, that my rib cage opened up, and I thought about, I just could first fit just me into there, but then within a few minutes, it seemed like I could fit more people into this sort of love cave. And then by the end of when I was sitting, it just felt like more and more people were able to fit into this space that my breath was opening.
Mm, nice.
I think the most important thing for me was the very beginning, was the loving kindness for yourself. And that when I stopped, when I started thinking that I was worth more love, that I stopped being so defensive. And that was what facilitated getting along with people better, was that I wasn't always protecting my territory as much as I had been before, because I didn't have to.
Fantastic.
It's like lightening up.
Yeah.
And I've heard that said so many times. I mean, I've known it's true for the last 40 years that you have to love yourself first before you can really give love to other people. But I never understood it.
So part of loving yourself is also... We did this, I think, earlier, was you can love particular parts of yourself which are difficult. So if you have a lot of fear, or have a lot of self-criticism or hate or whatever, rather than thinking you have to get rid of those things, you send your loving kindness to those things. And then often people then protest, you know, I mean, I'm supposed to love my fear? That's, yes, you are. And
or have compassion for it.
Or have compassion. That's also possible. And a lot of things dissolve in the light of a little bit of loving kindness. Someone told me recently, or read, or I don't know where I got it, but someone's policy about how long to sit every day. And this person's policy was, she sits half an hour a day, unless she's really, really busy, and then she sits for an hour. So what else before we start? We have started.
I had an opportunity to really use the practice a couple of days ago. I was in a car accident. I sat that morning, thank God. And it was one of those things where the moment after I hit this woman's car, I just went into this place of just, you know, being calm and being aware of everything that's going on. And I could see her fear and her anger and her sense of having been really violated. And you're not supposed to say, I'm at fault. So I didn't come right out and say that, but I came as close as I could to saying that I regret it that it happened. And I haven't been able to stay in that place since then. I've gotten pretty judgmental and actually fairly angry about some things that have happened. But at least at that moment, for those brief 10 minutes that I was with her and we were reacting to it, the practice was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Think it made it easier for her too?
I don't know. I stayed calm, and I think maybe that helped her. Maybe in some way actually helped calm me down a little bit. I don't know.
One of the things I wanted to mention several weeks now, this little thing that maybe many of you have read or heard, is that the Dalai Lama has been quoted as saying, my religion is kindness. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful sentiment. My religion is kindness. And so kindness probably is his way of saying loving kindness. I don't know what the difference is between kindness and loving kindness. So should we sit? So close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. And as you breathe out, you can silently to yourself, maybe almost as an imagination, kind of sigh, letting the day slide off you. Maybe relax or soften your stomach muscles, the muscles around your waist and the lower part of your back, feeling how your weight sits on your waist, on your hips, See if you're balanced and composed along the center of gravity. Take a few moments to slowly go up the spine from your lower back up to your neck, feeling how you're aligned there, feeling if you can ever so subtly become more balanced, upright, balanced, so your weight doesn't hang forward or hang backwards. And then around the core of the spine, or the core of the muscles that hold you upright, allow the rest of the muscles, the superfluous muscles, to relax, to soften. Relaxing the shoulders. Relaxing the arms. And then gently feel your breathing going in and out through the center of your chest, the area of your heart. As if the breath was a gentle wind caressing the breath, the heart. And sometimes it's suggested that in doing loving kindness meditation, that you can create a small half smile with the lips, turning up the corners of your lips just a little bit, your smile. And in the space and the time we have here, the quiet, can you allow yourself to be happy? Or can you open up to feel a little bit of happiness? Or or if there's something that is keeping you from being happy or keeping you from feeling that you're okay just being here, can you look below that? Can you sense deeper than that? And perhaps sense the deep pulse of life. The deep current of being alive. Continuing to breathe in and out through the chest. You can perhaps imagine you're standing under a great blue sky on a warm day. Perhaps in a great green meadow, grassland. Perhaps with a kind of sense of boundless sense of self that comes from being under the great blue sky. Open up to loving kindness towards yourself. Connecting to whatever wishing you have for yourself to be happy. Connecting with to whatever desire you have, inspiration you have, to be kind to yourself, to be loving. May I be happy. May my body be filled with joy and delight. May I be free from restlessness and anxiety. May my body be filled with loving kindness. May I be patient and forgiving with myself. May I live at ease. May I be at peace. And then with whatever desire or wish you have for yourself to be happy, think of someone, a friend or an acquaintance, who would you would like to extend that wish to that person also. Think of someone who you'd like to include in your desire for loving kindness. Who would feel safe and comfortable and warm to hold within the embrace of loving kindness, perhaps sharing the space under the great blue warm sun, the blue sky. And then breathing in and out. Extend your loving kindness to your friend, to this person. May you be happy. May you be blessed with loving kindness. May you be free from harm. May you be free from anxiety and hurry. May your heart be filled with joy. May your face be radiant with delight. May we meet each other in the warmth of loving kindness. And then bring to mind someone who's sitting here in this room. Someone who you happened to notice when you came in, or it could be anybody at all. And with whatever memory or image or visualization you can have of that person, open your heart, open your sensitivity to extend your loving kindness to that person also. May you be happy. May you be free from harm. May you be at ease in body and mind. May you experience the delight of loving kindness. May you feel content. May you be at ease. And then open yourself up to the sense of the whole group sitting here. The circle of people sitting here quietly in the silence of the room. Many whom you've shared these weeks of loving kindness class. May all of you be happy. May all of you be free from anxiety and worry. May all of you be filled with joy. May all of you sit at ease in your body, in your mind. May all of you together be touched by each other's loving kindness, by each other's kindness. May all of you be at peace. And then expand your loving kindness now to bring to mind all the people who live in Palo Alto between Highway 101 and El Camino. See if you can let your heart open boundlessly in all directions to include a wider group of people. Unknown people, great variety of people, young people, old people, all the people in this area of Palo Alto around us. May all these people in Palo Alto live together in friendship. May all these people in Palo Alto live together happily. May all these people be filled with joy. And you can imagine yourself maybe driving or walking around Palo Alto, How would your body be open? How would your heart be open if it was sensitive to feel kindness to the various strangers you might come across? May all these people be free from harm. May all these people go about their days at ease. May all these people be filled with joy. May all these people be at peace. And then perhaps as if loving kindness was a great wave that radiated outwards, expand the loving kindness to include the whole peninsula, San Francisco Peninsula, from San Jose all the way up to the Golden Gate Bridge. Hundreds of thousands of people. As if as you expand your loving kindness, your sense of care and kindness to more and more people, there's an increasing softening of the heart, expansion of the heart. Breathing in and out through the heart center. Let your loving kindness softly radiate out. And radiating out further to all the people in California, north and south, east and west. As if your loving kindness was a great, soft, radiating field of warmth that somehow blanketed the whole state of California. And then not just the people of California, but all the birds and the animals and the fish, so that all beings that share this wonderful state, may all of them be happy. May all of them live together at ease. May they all relate to each other through kindness. Now in the last minutes of this sitting, quietly do the loving kindness in a little different way. As you breathe in loving kindness, kindness to yourself. And then as you breathe out, silently to yourself, state the name of a person who you'd like to send some loving kindness to. And each time you breathe out, choose a different person. Going through anybody that occurs to you. So in the in-breath, you're breathing in loving kindness to yourself. And the out-breath, you state the name, sending out, breathing out loving kindness. Breathing in loving kindness to oneself. Breathing out, sharing it with some other person. Quietly saying their name. Allowing whatever names come to mind to be expressed in loving kindness. letting go of all names, letting go of any expression of loving kindness, simply sit quietly now in the silence of the room with whatever feelings, sensations, thoughts that might be here, resisting nothing. The traditional sequence of loving kindness actually covers 6 different steps, and so it's kind of nice we had 6 weeks in the end. The first is loving kindness towards oneself, and then to a friend and benefactor, then to a neutral person, and then to a difficult person, and then the fifth is thing called breaking down the barriers. And so you express loving kindness equally to all 4 categories of those first people. So you express it equally. You can have this equal feeling of kindness towards yourself, a friend, a neutral person, and a difficult person. And then once you've done that, then you go to the 6th category, which is beginning to expand it out, expand loving kindness out to wider and wider circles, either wider and wider circles of beings. Everyone in your family, everyone in your block, everyone in your city, everyone in your county, everyone in your state, everyone in the country, everyone in the world, just expand it out and out and out. Or you can do it to specific categories of beings. So one traditional thing is you do it all to all women, or you do it to all men, you do it to all children, all you know, Republicans, all Democrats. Everything, you start choosing different categories of beings that you want to kind of include, and just go around doing that. And then you can do all beings in the western direction, and all beings in the eastern directions, and you know, in all possible directions. And the idea is that as you do that, if you get a hang of it, and if you have the feeling of and the intention of the kindness gets strong, if you have a sense of it becoming more and more boundless, it kind of radiates out and out. And it doesn't seem to have any boundaries anymore. At some point, it just feels like it fills your whole experiential universe, the whole universe. And just kind of sitting there in this whole bath of, you know, loving kindness. The universe, rather than being made up of atoms, it's made up of waves of loving kindness. So that's when it becomes boundless. And when... Now, it's not easy to do this. This is a concentration practice, loving kindness is. So, I mean, there's 2 different ways of doing loving kindness. One is just simply to soften, and this is the way most of us do it in the West. We just do it as a practice to kind of soften the heart and cultivate some loving and some kindness and some patience and tolerance of others, some love for others, and to work with that more kind of at the heart level. That's one whole way to work with loving kindness. Another way of working on it is that it's a concentration practice. And you're focusing on this particular sentiment of loving kindness and kind of allowing that to be the primary focus of the mind, and allowing then the mind to kind of become more and more concentrated on that, more and more radiant with that, until that becomes more and more boundless. And the more boundless, kind of more expansive it is, the more concentrated we become. And you can enter into very deep states of expansive states of concentration doing loving kindness practice. And so in Southeast Asia, it's done for both reasons, as a concentration practice and as a practice of the heart. And in the West, it's mostly a practice of the heart, and the concentration part we don't focus on very much. Though it can be useful if you find yourself very agitated when you go to sit, Sometimes doing some loving kindness practice can just help quiet you down enough to be able to do mindfulness practice. So how was that, to do that sitting? Were you able to follow along to Palo Alto and state and outwards? Yes?
I found that it was a conceptual problem. And then when you said, I couldn't see how I could cover all those people. And I, you know, just was bits and bits. And then you said a wave up to San Francisco. And I felt I was in the wave and everything was connected. And then I wasn't quite able to take the wave to all of California.
It's a big state. It gets more abstract, it gets more difficult when it's abstract. I mean, it's a lot easier when you have concrete people. You kind of visualize them and imagine them much better. When you get these larger categories, it's much harder. But it's a lot easier if you've done the preliminary work of doing it toward yourself and to others, and you've cultivated a strong sense of that. And then you're working with it, that is expanding that sense. And then it can be a lot easier in the abstract, in a sense.
The end when you started that, I think you said just before the end here, breathe in the kindness for yourself and out with the name.
Yeah, for some.
Somehow I woke up and found that very interesting. It was going so fast, because each breath had to be a different person. And what was especially interesting was that there were these names of people coming up that I didn't, I was like, no, you know, like this. It didn't happen, but I just kind of just let all of that just be there. You know, I didn't sort of force myself mm-hmm. to be there. So. It also happened very quickly.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to have that happen and then let some, well, okay, that came up anyway, even if you don't want it to, you know, and let that all be there and just. You just sort of kept building the feelings of love and kindness kept building, and then very surprising people, you know, that I haven't thought about for many years.
Yeah. How many of you were surprised by the names that came up? Sense of them or face, huh? It's odd the way it can work that way sometimes. It's people from the far past. It's you know, you haven't thought about them for 10 years or something, and suddenly, somehow they're the people that come out to this little simple exercise. Why is that? I don't know. They found a place in our heart sometimes, or in our psyche.
Sometimes when you, maybe it's just a thought, but you touch on some aspect of loving kindness to yourself. You know, sort of that's the beginning part of it, and maybe it sort of reaches in somehow, just like that, into some place that you don't normally contact, mm-hmm. that might be related to being very young. You know, you might have felt for yourself a long time ago, and not for someone like that.
There's associations and things. Apparently when people die, as they're dying, sometimes they'll remember things in their life they haven't remembered for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 60 years. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting, you know, what becomes significant when a person's on their deathbed? Or what becomes significant when you know when you're deep in a meditative state, you know what are the acts, what are the activities, what are the relationships that have really made an impact on us? And sometimes they're not necessarily what you thought they were. sometimes they're just really small acts. And Jack Kornfield likes to point this out. He has an exercise where he has people think about a good deed they've done. And some people have a hard time thinking of one. And sometimes what they remember is really insignificant. You know, they're doctors and they're saving lives left and right, or whatever they, you know, what they're doing. You know, it's a major thing, and they don't think about that. They remember, you know, that maybe 10 years ago or something, they helped someone who was sick, went out and bought their groceries and brought their groceries home, and that's what they thought about. That's what came to mind. And if that's what came to mind, where is that equation of significance residing in the heart or in the mind and their memory? And I wonder, you know, the whole notion of Buddhist karma and how there are consequences to acts, and in part the consequences reside in our heart or in our mind, the substratum there. And what activities, what actions, what intentions carry the most weight in that, whatever, that substratum where karma resides. And sometimes it's really, you know, really insignificant things seemingly have the biggest impact. Maybe you helped, you know, your neighbor when she was sick, you know, buy groceries. There was much more of an openness of the heart there, much more willingness and really desire to help someone. That was much purer than, you know, many things we do much more intentionally later in our life that seem much more consequential. So that's what the memory, the karmic memory, that's what stayed maybe, or that's what comes up again. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how all this, you know, really, how it really works, all this stuff. But it's nice to point it out, because it's, for me, it's a reminder to honor much more, respect much more the little details in life, the little connections, and how I connect with someone, you know, just in a, even casually. That it might be more important that I, who knows, it might be more important that I stopped and let a pedestrian walk in front of me who had a lot of heavy bags or something, than it was for me to kind of, I don't know, make a donation to the Nature Conservancy or whatever. You know, I don't know. You know, in terms of karma, the way karma works, who knows how it works. So I pay much more attention to details than I used to small things, small acts.
Was what you were saying, with every breath, you know, somebody knew. I was really racing down the roster of all these people. And it was something that was very not automatic, but it was spontaneously arising, and I couldn't do my standard selective screening.
Uh-huh.
Because every breath, somebody knew, had to come forward.
So it's less inhibited, maybe.
Yeah.
And so, were you surprised? So you were surprised maybe of the names that came up. Were you surprised also perhaps that you could have some modicum of loving kindness towards those names?
I was surprised at the sheer number.
Sheer number.
I was surprised in the way you.
Sorry?
I was surprised in that way.
I was surprised I couldn't remember names. I just got the feeling of a person.
Just now?
Yeah.
In when Sylvia Borstein does her Wednesday morning class at Spirit Rock, I guess they sit together for 45 minutes before the beginning. And near the end of the class, they switch to do loving kindness practice. And then at the end of the loving kindness period, the 5 or 10 minutes they have, they'll at some point. Everyone will start saying out loud, quietly, but out loud, names of people they want to send loving kindness to. And I've only been to it once, and probably the effect would wear off, but if I kept going, for me. But just sitting there in the middle of this room and hearing all these names, all these, you know, there were like 30 people in the room, or more maybe, there were all these names, you know. And I was really moved to almost tears, all these feelings of loving kindness. And every once in a while I thought I could hear someone's name that I knew. You know, no. So anything else before we end? So this is the last class, and And you know, I've mentioned this many times now. It's my desire to be able to have a loving kindness class every Thursday at 5:30, 6:30. It just seems like a great thing to offer the community. And as we kind of go through it, we'll make up new ways, and you have to be creative, I guess, if we keep doing it for a long time. But I don't think, you know, I can't do it now through December, and I thought maybe near the end of January we could start again. And then I might be able to do it for quite some time, you know, just 4 weeks or 6 weeks, just, and then it becomes a different event then. We'll see what that's like, just to do it as an ongoing event. But when I started up again in maybe near the end of January, I was thinking the easiest way of doing it is just start over again, go through the whole series. It doesn't seem like that ever gets old. Does that seem okay with you? Those, any of you might be interested, or should we just kind of go on to advanced loving kindness directly?
I'm not sure any of us so expert yet.
Me neither. And I love doing this class. You know, it's not only it's nice doing it, but it's nice just to have to know that I'm going to be doing it, and have it in my mind, loving kindness. Oh, you know, it's kind of a reminder during the week. And
what do you do in advance, loving kindness?
Well, that's when you do it to yourself. It's the beginning and the end. I don't know what advanced loving kindness is. We'll have to discover it together. So, and then I thought as a way of ending then, because I think we started that way maybe the first days, maybe everybody can go around and say their name so we can all hear it again.
Jennifer. Anne.
Stacy.
Stacy.
Suzanne.
Marjorie.
Sorry?
Marjorie.
Yvonne.
Rita.
Doris.
John.
Noah.
Is that right?
Inanna.
Inat?
Hmm?
Inanna.
Inanna.
Inanna. John.
Beth.
Renee.
Noel.
Allison.
Bernice.
And Gil. Thank you all.
Thank you.